311.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the 311 Radio Show here on VOB 92.9 FM. And once again, as you know, it's a wonderful Sunday. I am your host, Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins. And this afternoon, I have a packed house with me. I have from the highest to the lowest rank, basically, well, from the higher ranks to a little to the lower ranks in the fire service. I have Station Officer Marlon Small is here with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Station Officer Small.
Good afternoon, Barbados.
Good. And we are going to come down in order of rank. I see two bars on your shirt, Mr. Broom. So I am going to assume that you're in the acting capacity of Sub-Officer Broom. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins. Good afternoon, Barbados.
So also Adrian Broom is here with us. And we have our returning usual Fire and Life Safety Officer Kevin Sobers. He's here with us. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Sobers.
Good afternoon, Barbados. Thank you, Mr. Collins, for having me.
And we have Fire Officer Tiffany Roach. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sobers. Good afternoon, Barbados.
Right, so we have a packed house, as I said, and they are here for what is always a special reason once we gather here to do this 311 radio show, because whatever we bring to you, we see as something special and something informative. And today is no exception, as all of these personnel, along with some more, would have been part of the fight against COVID since, 2019, into 2020 we started that fight, and these guys have played a major role in that fight, as they would have been working with the ministry of health over the past, it was 6 months, am I right, guys?
8 months, just about 8 months.
8 months, right. So over the past 8 months in helping to make sure that Barbados is a safer place and that fight against COVID. I don't know where to start or who to start with. It has been a while. It felt as though Sobers was gone for 2 years. But he's back with us, and all of you guys are back. We're certainly glad to have you back, and I'm pretty sure that you made yourselves and the Barbados Fire Service proud, and you did more than human service to your country, as I know all of you are proud citizens of this country. You would have done service for your country. Always a pleasure to serve. But what I want to know from you, though, was, you know, like, how was that experience? I don't know who wants to start. Station Officer, you want to kick it off? You want to start, as some of you would have been in different roles. I think Station Officer Small, you would have been, as always, quite busy, but in a different capacity. How was it for you, Station Officer Small?
Okay. First, let me say that my time was a little shorter over here than the other guys. But nevertheless, I really enjoyed the opportunity to serve my country at that level. Especially the response was an opportunity to really practice what we do daily when we respond to emergencies, but at a different level, and functioning. The emergency in this case was not a fire, but the emergency was more of a medical emergency, and therefore the information would have been somewhat different. So I welcome the opportunity. It was very different. A lot of areas that you have to consider, and that would have given the opportunity to look at incident management from a total different level and perspective.
Right. So that sounds like a handful already. I mean, we as you said, we do some of that in the fire service. We are accustomed to taking information and so on. But as you already mentioned, in a different capacity, because we usually take information as it relates to fire and those type of emergencies, whereas we have, in the case of the Ministry of Health, you would have been taking medical emergency information. So that is in itself a different capacity that you would have been in. You said you enjoyed it. I know you do. You're a very proud citizen of this country, for sure. And you take pride in anything as it relates to representing your country. You like to use that old adage of, is not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I've heard that from you before.
That's right.
I know you believe in that, and I'm sure you really enjoyed that stay over at the Ministry of Health. I'm pretty sure they enjoyed having you as well. I want to come down to sub-officer Adrian Broome. Sub Broome, you also would have played a fairly critical role. You want to say somebody else, S.O. Small?
Oh, go ahead. I'll probably at the end. I know time is limited.
No problem. Station off. Sub-officer Broome, I want to hear from you now how you would have played a fairly integral role as well in that setup. So tell the public how was it?
Yes, sir. For me, I held the responsibility as shift supervisor for our shift in the operation center, the combined operation center at Ministry Health, where that I would have supervised the daily operations of the operations center during the period that we were on duty. We take calls coming into the center in terms of complaints, emails, all the information related with COVID, and we would have taken information in terms of persons who have medical emergencies and getting transported from one facility to another facility. Basically, we dealt with all the information dealing with COVID, and we had to coordinate that on a daily basis and a shift basis.
Okay, well,
but for me, it was a very good experience in terms of it was different as the station officer Small said, but it was challenging. But most days I would enjoy the opportunity serving the country and assisting persons who were in need at that time.
Right. Now, something that stood out for me from what yourself as Station Officer Small mentioned, you say you it was different. That's the thing that keeps coming back up from both of you so far, that it was different. Now you are a supervisor in the Barbados Fire Service, and basically you would have been carrying out the same role as a supervisor, so to speak. Like the same way you would have been a shift leader at your station, you would have basically been a shift leader in that capacity. What was so different? Was it, I am assuming it had different challenges to being a shift leader and being a leader. You know, what was the difference and the major challenges that you would have faced comparable to the first year?
As Small said, it was just dealing with fire and those kind of emergencies. But in terms of you were dealing with making calls and medical calls, where that medical calls and decisions based on getting response for persons, assisting persons who are having challenges with COVID, and who need a solution to a problem they face through the COVID experience.
Okay.
And to deal with something like that every day, things that you never thought would come up, things came up that some days we would say, how do I solve this today? And then we put our heads together and said, we got to find a solution. Because at any day, person were calling for help, and the operation center was the last area. There was no place beyond us to solve this problem for a result. And we made it our job and our responsibility each day to solve each problem as it come forward or came through the phone or via email or come to the operation center.
Okay, so from what I'm gathering, it was an eye-opener, even though you would have you've dealt with emergency after emergency over the years and your time in the fire service. It was an eye-opener from this perspective now.
Yeah, it was each call. Like if you got, some days you would get, if you get 50 calls, all 50 calls needed immediate action. And normally in the fire service, you won't get 50 calls with immediate action to that level. And where each call would depending on a possibility that if they don't go right, someone could lose their life, and that would be a challenge for us. We don't want that to happen, and we made sure that we gave help where it was needed, and gave support and get the help where it was needed for the safety persons that who made the call, or made the request.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Broome. I would go on now to Mr. Sobers. No. In that period, whenever you see or hear Sobers, the greeting usually is a sigh. And that said a lot about the way the fatigue that it brought to you guys, even though you enjoyed serving, so to speak. It did play, it had a physical and a mental, it took a physical and mental toll on you guys, I'm pretty sure. And I think Mr. Sobers, you know it, you know that aspect of it fairly well. How was your experience working with the Quality Center for the Ministry, with the Ministry of Health?
Well, I had a very interesting experience. I was sent to the Ministry of Health as an operator, and my duties saw me dealing with cases, as in we were dealing with the operations and logistics centers, operations as in managing the transportation for persons who were not feeling well or who needed assessments, managing the isolation facilities, the quarantine facilities, persons who were tested and tested positive had to be transported from the facilities they were tested at urgently, managing the collection of persons, managing the numbers, the stats coming in to make sure they were correct. It was so much that we had to do at the initial stages. And then, I don't know to say fortunately for me or unfortunately, but I was promoted to be the shift supervisor as well for my shift. And that in itself presented another challenge because you're being thrown into the deep end now as the supervisor to oversee the operations and personnel. And the challenging thing about it was mainly the calls that came in, the personnel, the person that were calling, understanding that it was a pandemic that was going on. Those persons all were frustrated or having to be feel like they're in prison and in their homes for that period of time, wanting information as to what was going on. And you have to understand that they're frustrated or they may feel, especially if they're calling certain places or certain numbers are not getting through. And being finally getting through to the operating center, which was the last resort, as Broom said, and having to deal with that frustration. So many times, or most cases, it was people who would have that level of frustration and having to try to calm down those persons to gather the information and then do your utmost best to try to resolve or find a solution and communicate to that person as soon as possible. That was a challenge. And it was something that, I mean, not to say that I enjoyed it, but knowing that you did all you could and that at the end of the call, the persons were satisfied or their problem or issue was addressed. When you hung the phone, you felt a sigh of relief for those few seconds because sometimes you don't get to put the phone because when the person hang up, it's another call waiting for you. So that was the case. And on many occasions, we all found ourselves, let's say you're supposed to finish your shift at 3 o'clock or at midnight or so. Sometimes 5 or 8 hours after, you will still be in the same center to make sure that what information came in during your shift that you saw it to completion. That you made sure that all the persons who called, that they had their areas addressed and that you contacted those persons to let them know what was being done or what was going on to keep them informed and not leave them in their state of feeling frustrated or as if no one is trying to hear them out. So it was an interesting experience. And
even though you say it.
It really took a lot of us. It really did take a lot of us.
Well,
but it really was a good experience.
Right. Well, again, we've heard, it feels like the three of you have spoken so far and it's like so much things happened. There was so much to do, to experience. I'm going to come to you now, Tiffany Roach. You were part of the youngest in the setup who would have been part of that that crew. Now, well, the youngest from the fire service, basically. who would have been part of that crew. Now, one of the things I keep hearing from the others was taking information. Basically, that comes up all the time. There was a lot of information taken. For someone, for example, like yourself, who would have worked control and so on. Well, all of you would have worked in the control room at some point. But, you know, for you who constantly work in the control room, in the fire service, how, for you, and this question is to you, Tiffany, how was that experience for you in terms of that call center in relation to working the control in the fire service control room? How you found difference, the challenge, how was it for you?
Well, as the rest said, there are similarities and then there are the differences. Similarities is basically you taking the same information that you would usually take, but in terms of the differences now with the fire service, in the case of an emergency or any situation, you know exactly from the get-go who you have to call. There's only a set specific amount of people. In terms of this one, now there's so many different people that has to be called, especially depending on the situation, depending on the needs. There were a lot of phone calls. As Mr. Sober said, as soon as you will hang up from one call, is another call.
Right.
And for me, the most challenging parts were, like, there were a few times that people would call, you know, terrified, because there's so much about the news. For any time you get COVID, you know, the first thing is going downhill. So there were persons that were terrified, crying. And for me, that was the hardest part, because I didn't really used to like to hear it. But having to set that aside, because, you know, the best thing to do is just try to calm down the person on the next line. You know, try to tell them, well, we will get help to you as soon as possible, or we would tell them exactly what needs to be done or what will be done. As Mr. Sober said, there were times when you're supposed to leave and you're still there, still trying to finish up. As an operator myself, the calls were constantly coming in, emails were constantly coming in, and it was very draining mentally, especially. But other than that, it was a great experience for me personally. I am glad that I did get the opportunity to experience it, because it did teach me a lot in terms of handling certain situations. So I am glad to be back to the station. I will not deny that.
All of us. So,
yes, I am glad to be back to the station, getting to do what I love to do. But it was a very good experience.
Right. Well, I think the common sentiment is that everybody's glad to be back at the station. That's what they prefer. I love to do. But you know, before I go any further, though, I want to highlight that there were not only the four of you, there were a number of other officers who were there. And not only officers, I did mention on the program a few months ago that we had some of our fire cadets who also stood up to the plate. And that made me proud. You know, Mr. Broom, you would have had a great hand in that. Station Officer Small as well, Sobers. So, I mean, that was a proud moment. Sobers, you could highlight some of the other persons, fire officers, and then the cadets who would have been involved, persons, you know, that we also want to thank, because unfortunately, we were not able to get every single person who was involved from the fire service on this program, but we've gotten a few, and we will also highlight the ones who are not here. So, Sobers, you can do that.
Right. I'll try to give all the best of my recollection. I know for sure we had Divisional Officer Fields, who was one of the managers for the Operations Center, along with Division Officer Small, who's here with us. We had Leading Fire Officer 101 Small. We had Leading Fire Officer Farnham. We had Fire Officers 121 Allen and 312 Haynes. And those were, if my memory serves correct, those were the fire officers who would have been assigned to the Operating Center. And as it relates to fire cadets, we would have had Fire Cadet Ellis, Fire Cadet Elcock, and Fire Cadet Boyce, Miracle Boyce. And we also had a young gentleman who would have worked along with the fire service, the academy, as well as the fire service in the headquarters, who also joined with us through Mr. Broom. Mr. Bradshaw, who would have also assisted the Operating Center in its quest to combat the whole pandemic of COVID. Right. So that's basically the
Okay.
I think that's all the faculty that's if is my memory serves correctly, right, bro?
Confirming, Mr. Bro?
Yeah, there are five more that work with the swabbing at the Queen's Park.
Right, and there are still five other people involved
the Queen's Park. Working at Queen's Park in these swabbing areas.
So and they're still actively involved, correct? Area. Yes, right.
Yes, they are.
Exactly. So kudos once again to those fire cadets who constantly have been working, whether it be with the fire service, whether it be outside of the department, they've been making themselves, the department, and their families very proud and definitely serving their country very well. And thanks to all of the officers who would have worked in some form or fashion with the call center, with the operation center. Because I nobody has said, none of you guys who work have ever said it was easy. None of you have ever said it was a walk in the park. I have always heard as though it was quite intense, 0 to 100 within a second or less in time, you know, so it was always that challenge. And you guys soaked up that pressure and just made it happen to the best of your ability. And I'm sure that the entire department is very proud and those persons, because I know I heard Tiffany mention just now about that emotion. You know, at the end of the day, contrary to popular belief, we as fire officers are still human beings. We are human beings first. And even though you maintain a level of professionalism, there's still that emotional attachment that goes with it. At the end of the day, whether or not you try to shut it out, whether or not, don't care how you do it, there's always that little emotional thing that happens on the inside where a person might not see it. You may go about your day-to-day duties, but at the end of the day, you're a human being with feelings. And, you know, seeing persons in despair and distressing situations is never easy thing to handle. And then sometimes to the point where you can't do much from where you sit or stand, sometimes there's not much you can do to physically help that person. You can do the best you can and as much as you can do, but sometimes you really can't physically change that person's situation at the point in time. You may do put things in place to make it better going down the road, but I know how challenging that can be, and I can tell you that from a firefighting perspective. You go there, I know Tiffany was saying that, you know, the person's crying. These are things that we hear on a day-to-day when we are on the fire ground. But at the same time, you know, we still have to maintain that level of professionalism. And I'm sure that you guys did that quite well.
Yeah, we did try to. But I must say, for me, as much as you did not know some of the other person on the other line, you still felt some sort of connection in terms of you from talking with the person, trying to get them to calm down and getting their information. At the end of the call, most of us would have the person either laughing or smiling or something, trying to be doing it all the way. I mean, many times I would find myself even singing a song or seeing the birthday song to some person who had their birthday on the day they call and stuff to wish them a happy birthday just to cheer them up. And even after the service was done, we were still, the information coming in by email saying that the email was sent or the information was sent to the person. We will still call the person just to make sure that they check. It's okay, it was sent, just check to make sure you get it. Just to verify, we were out of our way literally. And that's the reason why, as I said, many hours after the shift was ended, we will still be in there because we just wanted to call to make sure that all the stuff we would have dealt with, that the person would have received, that they were satisfied with what they received, that it was correct. And at the end of it, I mean, many times driving home, you will feel so stable. I mean, many nights I would have had to pull in at the police station or the gas station to get a little rest because of how tired you felt. And you can laugh about it now, because I remember one night I got home and I sat in the chair by the door to take off my shoes. And bro was laughing because I can't bring it next morning, because I got home the night time, I think it was about 8 o'clock or so the night. Was supposed to finish at 3, got home at 8 o'clock from work. Sat in the chair and took off, started to take off my shoes and socks. And I woke up the next morning, one shoe off and the next shoe still on. And I sat in the same chair with my belongings, everything right on the ground. And that's how fatigued I was. And for those months, I remember like 6 months passed and me and Room laughed because we did not even see our beds or step in our beds for a whole 6 months. We slept in the chair or on the floor by the door. It really was a draining experience, but thinking back to what we would have accomplished and all we did to assist the people of Barbados, the visitors to Barbados, because there were numerous calls of people from overseas who wanted information before they traveled. And we really did the best we could to assist those persons to make sure that what we would want for ourselves, our families, that we give to each and every person. And I mean, it wasn't just us. We met with different personalities and different persons from different departments, because it wasn't just for a service. It was the Defense Force, like five or so persons from the Coast Guard. There were five or so persons from the Barbados Police Service who were also there. So working with those persons and from different units or departments who all operate different, getting to understand that and try to be on the same wavelength to make sure we provide the best service. That was also another challenge at first. But when we got things moving and going, regardless of what confronted us, we made sure that we did all we could to make sure that the person on the next end of the line received the best service that they could receive.
Well, I want to say personally, thanks to all of you who would have played in that role in the call center, because none of you have made it so as though it was anything easy. It wasn't a walk in the park. And kudos to all of you. I think all of you would have received some medals at the just concluded ceremony recently as well, right? Am I right in saying that, right?
Yes, we did.
Right. And I want to say a personal congratulations to you, not only you who are here in the studio, to those officers who would have worked, the cadets, to those in the other departments who would have also given their service to this country.
Basically, thanks to all the persons who would have worked in the operations and logistics center and worked alongside of it. Shout out to personally Dr. Grandison and Dr. Brian Charles and Sasha Hunt and the Sophia Williams and all those persons. Can't call all the names, but all the persons who were instrumental or worked along with us to assist us in doing a good job. And to this day, we still call to check in to make sure that they're still doing good and still coping, because it really was a stressful experience. And it was the closeness that we got as the different shifts that really pushed us or kept us going. So shout out to all those persons.
Shift three.
Go ahead.
we got just over 2 minutes.
Literally. And shift three. Shift three.
Shift three.
Shift
three.
Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Shift three. Don't mind the haters. Shift three was there.
Well, I think at this point there's not much time. We're out of time, guys, unfortunately. But I want to thank each and every one of you that made an effort to come in today to make this program possible and to inform the public, because there are a lot of things that the public don't see. A lot of work that is done behind the scenes to make to keep the wheels turning, so to speak. So I want to say a big thank you.
Any final words?
Before I get the final, well, there's not so far anything you want to say, finally, anybody quickly?
That's so small.
I just want to reiterate, you know, it was a real pleasure. It was a real pleasure doing this. It was an eye-opener. And Barbados, know I'm here for Barbados when needed.
All right. Broom, Sabroom, quickly.
Just to reiterate what James Norman Small said, we're here to serve our country and we made our country proud, and that's the fire department.
So we just said a lot. Anything quick? You got literally seconds.
No, but they basically said everything. Thanks to all.
Tiffany, from you?
Yes, please. Same thing. Thanks to everybody.
All right. And you know, if you have missed any of this program, you can also follow it. Go to the podcast, www.vob929.com. or VOB's Facebook page, VOB92.9FM, if you've missed any of today's proceedings. That's a wrap from us today. Thank you very much for being a part of the program. To all of you, we wish you a wonderful week. At the end of every program, what we always say, Kevin, fire prevention is our intention. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful week, Barbados.
On the Barbados Fire Service 311.